Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Lauren Tenney. Welcome back. It's been quite a while. I'm not sure whether or not this is even audible at this point. I'm just trying to work out the sound. If you want to call in, the number to call in is area code 914-205-5794. I'm doing this reading because there's a new bill that came out in the assembly, and we had scheduled a June 30th, 2022, this is in relation to involuntary patient commitment laws in New York State of who could be mandated into court-ordered services. And so I'm just sitting here testing mic and making sure that everything is working out okay. I wish that there was someone being able to tell if I could be heard. I'm going to have to call for a second. So I'm going to be reading the actual bill and trying to go through it because they really did something with changing the language in terms of how they're talking about the, so involuntary outpatient commitment is passed through a law that is commonly known as Pendra's Law, which was a total exploitation on multiple levels. And it's carried out through a program through the New York Office of Mental Health called Assisted Outpatient Treatment. And so it's that the bill is to enhance the assisted outpatient treatment program. You might hear a little bit of an echo here. So it's working, and we're all working. So I'm going to be reading the bill, which is the title of the bill is An Act to Amend the Mental Hygiene Law and the Correction Law in relation to enhancing the assisted outpatient treatment program and to amend Kendra's Law in relation to making the provisions thereof permanent. So the event that we have scheduled for June 30th, 2021 on a Zoom call that Surviving is hosting for us, you can get to that event through Facebook. So part of that, the involuntary outpatient commitment is under the sunset laws, which means that can be interrupted and all of the funding can be stopped for it if that is the way that the votes were to go. So could get the involuntary outpatient commitment program off of the books in New York State if we could sunset the law. So on February 12th, 2021, apparently, this new bill that's sponsor is Gunther with more than a dozen co-sponsors and a dozen multi-sponsors. That amends multiple laws within the mental hygiene law and correction laws. It sets to enhance the assisted outpatient treatment program, and it eliminates the expiration and repeal of Kendra's Law. So the bill number, again, is A05284 or A5284. It's the same as, that's the assembly number. It's the same bill in the Senate as S02614 or S2614. So A5284 and S2614 are the bills that we currently really need to be organizing around if we want to try to eliminate the possibility for them to eliminate the possibility for sunset. So that's what this bill does. So on February 12, 2021, A5284 in the Assembly of New York State, the bill was referred to mental health. And there are no listed committee votes. And it specifically says that there are no votes under floor votes, that there are no votes for the bill in the legislative session. But this is coming down the pike. And so I guess now I'm going to read the bill. A5284 memo. New York State Assembly Memorandum in Support of Legislation submitted in accordance with Assembly Rule 3, Section 1F. Bill number 85284. Sponsor, Gunther. Title of bill, an act to amend the mental hygiene law and the correction law in relation to enhancing the assisted patient treatment program and to amend Andrews law in relation to making the provisions thereof permanent. Purpose or general idea of the bill, to improve care for people with serious mental illness and protect the safety of patients and, period, the public, by streamlining and improving New York's assisted outpatient treatment, in parentheses, AOT, program, in parentheses, Kenlaw. Summary of specific provisions. Section 1 amends mental hygiene law, MHL, section 7.17F. to require that AOT program coordinators monitor local programs to ensure that expiring AOT orders are adequately reviewed to consider the need for renewal of the order. Section 1 amends Mental Health Hygiene Law, MHL 717F, to require that AOT program coordinators monitor local programs to ensure that expiring AOT orders are adequately reviewed to consider the need for renewal of the order, to ensure appropriate assignment of a director for each outpatient, and to monitor local needs for training of judges and court for the Office of Mental Health to adequately provide such training. Section 2 provides that the Commissioner of Mental Health shall develop an educational pamphlet. I'm going to be using this in a video, so I apologize for like my trying to learn how to read their language and trip up on myself about it, but that's why you watch this, right? Okay, so Section 2 provides that the Commissioner of Mental Health shall develop an educational pamphlet on the process of petitioning for AOT to be made available to persons wishing to submit reports of individuals who may be in need of AOT, as well as disseminated to family members and other individuals eligible to petition for AOT. Section 3 amends Section 9.47 of the Mental Hygiene Law to clarify that directors of community services shall be responsible for ensuring that reports of persons who may be in need of continued AOT orders are subject to a timely investigation. It also provides that directors of community services shall notify program coordinators when an AOT patient cannot be located or are believed to have taken residence outside of the local government unit served. Section 4 amends mental hygiene law. Section 4 amends mental hygiene law, section 9.48, to require that AOT program directors quarterly reports to program coordinators include information on any expired AOT court orders, including the determination made as to whether to petition for renewal of the AOT, the basis for such determination, and the court's disposition of the renewal petition, if any. Section 5 amends Mental Hygiene Law, Section 96.0, to clarify that assisted outpatient treatment services provided may include medication education or symptom management education, appointment of a representative payee, and that tests for alcohol or drugs may be random. This section also provides consent that an examining physician need not testify in court. The bill also provides that the appointed physician shall make a reasonable reasonable effort to gather relevant information for the development of a treatment plan from a member or members of the patient's family or significant other. This section clarifies that directors of hospitals or superintendents of This is so hard to read. This section clarifies... Let's keep on. Okay. Where was I? My eyes are bouncing all over the place trying to follow the lines. So Section 5 amends Mental Hygiene Law to Section 9.60 to clarify that assisted outpatient treatment services provided may include medication education or symptom management education, appointment of a representative payee, and that tests for alcohol or drugs may be mandatory. This section also provides that the parties to the treatment order may stipulate upon mutual consent that an examining physician need not testify in court. The bill also provides that the appointed physician shall make a reasonable effort to gather relevant information for the development of a treatment plan from a member or members of the patient's family or significant other. This section clarifies that directors of hospitals or superintendents of correctional facilities may initiate a petition. This section also requires the commissioner to establish by regulation a procedure to ensure that reports of persons who may be in need of AOT that are made by family and community members of such persons are, if warranted, investigated in a timely manner, and that AOT petitions are filed where appropriate. This section also provides that the commissioner shall promulgate regulations to require that prior to an assisted outpatient locating to a location within the state of New York, which is not served by his or her current director of community services, that patient or other appropriate party must notify the program coordinator. The program coordinator shall then redetermine who the appropriate director shall be and cause a copy of the court order and treatment plan to be transmitted to the new director. This section also provides that a director shall review whether the assisted outpatient continues to meet AOT criteria within 30 days before the execution of an order for AOT. If the director determines that such assisted outpatient no longer meets the criteria, such director is required to give notice to the program coordinator that a petition for continued AOT is unnecessary. However, if such assisted outpatient continues to meet the criteria as determined by the director, such director shall file a petition for continued treatment. This provision clarifies procedures any other person authorized to petition for continued use may bring such petition in the event that the appropriate director or current petitioner does not petition for continued AOT prior to the expiration of the court order. I'm going to read that again. This provision clarifies procedures any other person authorized to petition for continued AOT may use to bring such petition in the event that the appropriate director or current petitioner does not petition for continued AOT prior to the expiration of the court order. This section also provides that counties shall notify the department when an assisted outpatient is missing and thereby unavailable for an evaluation as to whether he or she continues to meet AOT criteria. It also provides that when a patient is missing upon the expiration date of the order shall be extended until 60 days after such patient is found. Section 6 amends Mental Hygiene Law, Section 29.15. to provide that if the director of the hospital does not petition AOT upon the discharge of an involuntarily admitted inpatient or upon the expiration of a period of conditional release for such inpatient, such director shall report the discharge in writing to the director of community services, the local government unit where the inpatient is expected to reside. Section 7 amends subdivision 1 of section 404. I'll read that again. Section 7 amends subdivision 1 of section 404 of the correction law to require that prior to discharging an inmate who is mentally ill, the director shall, where appropriate, either apply for a person's admission to a hospital for care and treatment or initiate a petition for an order authorizing assisted outpatient treatment, or the commissioner may apply for the person's admission to a secure treatment facility. Subdivision 3 of Section 404 of the Corrections Law is amended to require that a director of community services of the local government unit where the inmate will reside who has received a written report from a director of a hospital that has completed an AOT clinical assessment for an inmate being discharged from a hospital in the Department of Mental Hygiene shall conduct an investigation pursuant to Section 9.4 of the Mental Hygiene Law. A new subdivision of the correction law is also added to require that within a reasonable period before release or discharge of an inmate with a serious mental illness pursuant to paragraph E of subdivision 6 of Section 137 of the correction law, the department shall notify the director of a hospital who shall ensure that a clinical assessment has been completed to determine if the inmate meets the criteria for AOT treatment, pursuant to Mental Hygiene Law Section 9.60. If the inmate is determined to meet such criteria, the hospital director will either petition the court for an order pursuant to Section 9.60 of the Mental Hygiene Law or report in writing to the director of community services of the local government unit in which the inmate resides so that an investigation will be conducted pursuant to Section 9.47 of the Mental Hygiene Law. Section 8 would repeal the current sunset date of June 30th, 2022, and make the provisions of Kendra's law permanent. Section 9, severability. Section 10 states that this act shall take effect immediately. Justification. In 1999, the legislature enacted, quote, Kendra's law, establishing a statewide court-ordered assisted outpatient treatment, AOT program, to improve outcomes for persons with severe mental illness who, in view of their treatment history and present circumstances, are likely to have difficulty living safely in the community. At the approach of the law's original 2005 expiration date, the legislature took note of the Office of Mental Health OMH research documenting declines in rates of homelessness, hospitalization, substance abuse, alcoholism, violence, arrest and incarceration, documented increases in treatment compliance, service engagement, and positive consumer perceptions. In 2005 and 2010, the legislature opted to extend Kendra's law for an additional 5 years to further evaluate the program. The New York State Act, which was signed into law on January 15, 2013, also extended Kendra's law for an additional 2 years, making the law expire on June 30, 2017. Kendra's law was subsequently extended an additional 5 years and will expire on June 30, 2022. On June 30, 2009, a team of independent researchers released a report on their long-term study of AOT through New York State, and in October 2010, Psychiatric Services published 6 peer-reviewed studies on the AOT program. These reports confirm the earlier OMH data. These studies found patients given mandatory outpatient treatment who were more violent to begin with were nevertheless four times less likely than members of the control group to perpetuate serious violence after undergoing assisted outpatient treatment. The studies also found less frequent psychiatric hospitalizations, shorter length of hospitalization, reduction in the likelihood of arrest, higher social functioning, slightly less stigma, and no increase in perceived coercion. These studies confirmed that AOT stimulates service providers' efforts to prioritize care AOT recipients. Judges hearing AOT cases could benefit from additional AOT training. Counties favored increasing the availability of stipulations to reduce the court burden, costs, and transportation burdens. Recipients are far more likely than other patients to consistently receive psychotropic medications appropriate to their psychiatric condition. That those who receive AOT for periods of at least 1 year are more likely than those to receive AOT for shorter periods to sustain gains after leaving the program, that the law has been applied in a non-discriminatory manner, and that the court order, in addition to high-quality services, is a significant factor in the program's success. The experience of thousands of patients, treatment providers, and families who have utilized Kendra's Law since 1999 point to several areas where the law should be improved to achieve cost savings, promote smoother functioning of the AOT program, and easier access to those who stand to benefit from it. Although the New York SAFE Act addresses many of these concerns, loopholes still exist in law. The amendments included in this act are intended to close these loopholes and maximize the unique potential of this legislation, while simultaneously serving the goals of compassionate care, fiscal responsibility, and public safety. Prior legislative history. 2019 to 2020, A 2414 was referred to mental health. 2017 to 2018, A 604A was referred to mental health. 2015 to 2016, A-1275 referred to mental health, S-4722 passed Senate. 2013 to 2014, A-1544A referred to mental health. 2011 to 2012, A-6987B, S-4881B referred to mental health. Fiscal implications. To be determined. Cost savings for the state and local governments are anticipated following implementation due to reduced instances of hospitalization and incarcerations that would result. Effective date. This act shall take effect immediately. So the text of where they edited and took out and backed up and came back, there are so many issues inside of this bill, and there are so many things that it does in terms of violation of privacy rights, of creating a data. We've been worrying about whether they're going to track us from state to state. This bill tracks us county to county. There are so many issues with this bill, and the clear racist and classist ways in which this bill has been carried out for a decade now. With gross overrepresentation of Black, Indigenous, people of color in court-ordered services in New York State. And they've taken out, I mean, it was one of the main sources of contention, one of the reasons why there was continued investigation into the program was because of the clear ways that the New York Lawyer for Public Interest and then the Duke study itself, and I'm blanking on the name, Schwartz et al., showed that people who were African-American were 3 to 8 penalty, five times more likely statewide. One of the reports that they had commissioned, that the legislature had commissioned, they specifically said that this was probably on the report that the reason why particularly black men were being at a higher rate involuntarily committed in court-ordered services, because there were and are clear, gross over-representations of black, indigenous, and people of color in psychiatric institutions. And so one of the requirements of meeting the law is that you have been in a psychiatric institution. That's not even that specific, right? Danger to yourself or others is asked. I can go over to the law and go back to it, but it's there are definitely problems, and there were definitely issues that they can just say that it's being carried out in a non-discriminatory manner. When we have those kinds of statistics, that is just illegitimate. And then these major issues in terms of privacy, tracking, and the whole idea that psychiatry can actually offer some substantial on any way, that of course is also of concern. So we're going to continue to go through this and put this out, but I wanted it out there that these bills exist. That is the thing that we're trying to do. When you go to the Senate, it's the same. So the sponsor in the Senate is Helen, and the co-sponsor is Gallivan. Just hit the wrong page. If you bear with me a second, I'm just trying to make sure that I give you the right information. So the Senate bill is S0614 or 2614. And it was referred January 22nd, 2021. And there are no bills for the legislation at this time, and there is no memo available. But this will definitely alter the way that people can operate and the level of freedom that people have. If you want to know the clarifications for OMH AOT petitioning and to petition somebody and to trigger an investigation into somebody, I mean, it really is just, really horrendous. The petitioning process is the so petitioners. So I'll just share with you what comes to mental health rights here. Judge's law establishes a procedure for obtaining court orders for certain individuals with mental illness to receive and accept outpatient treatment. The prior treatment set forth in a written treatment plan prepared by a physician who has examined the individual. The procedure involves a hearing in which all the evidence, including testimony from the physician, if desired, from the person alleged to need treatment, is presented to the court. Now, that's one of the things that they've done in this bill is that they've removed the requirement for a physician to actually testify to the court. And nowhere do they, I don't remember anywhere hearing about people being able to testify on their own behalf. So anyway, the way that the law is now and the way the program carries out now is that, quote, if the court determines that the individual meets the criteria for assisted outpatient treatment, AOT, an order is used to the Director of Community Services, who oversees the mental health program of a locality, the county or the city of New York mental health director, as an example. The court orders will require the director to provide and arrange for those services described in the written treatment plan that the court finds necessary. The initial order is effective for up to 1 year and can be extended for successive periods of up to 1 year. The legislation also establishes a procedure for evaluation in cases where the individual fails to comply with the ordered treatment and may pose a risk of harm. This legislation also requires the Office of Mental Health to designate, quote, program coordinators who are responsible for monitoring and overseeing AOT programs. County directors of community services are required to operate AOT programs either separately or jointly with other counties. The directors of local assisted outpatient treatment programs report to the program coordinators regarding the operation of their AOT programs and also apply the program coordinators with the nation on every assisted outpatient treatment order. So there is, it's not like there isn't a tracking system. There is a tracking system. They're just trying to enhance and strengthen that tracking system. And it sounds like really create barriers for people to leave one county and enter another in New York State. So the final line of the program description is that the Commissioner of Mental Health must approve all AOT programs. So the petitioners, the process for issuance of assisted outpatient treatment orders begins with the filing of a petition in the Supreme or County Court where the person alleged to be mentally ill and in need of AOT is present or is believed to be present. The following may act as petitioners: an adult 18 years or older roommate of the person, a parent, spouse, adult child, or adult sibling of the person, the director of a hospital where the person is hospitalized, the director of a public or charitable organization, agency, or home that provides mental health services to the person or in whose institution the person resides, a qualified psychiatrist who is either treating the person or supervising the treatment of the person for mental illness, a licensed psychologist or licensed social worker who is treating the person for mental illness, the director of community services or social services official of the city or county where the person is present or is reasonably believed to be present, or a parole officer or probation officer assigned to supervise the person. The petition process. The petition must allege that the subject of the petition meets the criteria for AOT and must be supported by a sworn statement of a physician who has examined the person within the last 10 days attesting to the need for AOT. The required physician's affidavit may state in the alternative that unsuccessful attempts were made in the past 10 days to obtain consent of the person for an examination and that the physician believes AOT is warranted. In the latter case, the court may request the person to consent to an examination. If the person refuses, then the court finds reasonable cause to believe the allegations in the petition are true. The court may order peace officers or police officers to take the person into custody or transport to a hospital for examination by a physician. Any such retention shall not exceed 24 hours. Service of the notice and petition. Notice of the petition must be served on a number of people or entities, including the person, his or her nearest relative, and the Mental Hygiene Legal Services, MHLS, AOT program coordinator appointed by OMH, a healthcare agent appointed in proxy executed by the person, and the appropriate county AOT program director. The AOT criteria. No person may be placed under an AOT order unless the court finds by clear and convincing evidence that the subject of the petition meets all of the following criteria: is at least 18 years old and is suffering from a mental illness and is unlikely to survive safely in the community without supervision based on a clinical determination and has a history of lack of compliance with treatment for mental illness that has, prior to the filing of the petition, at least twice within the last 36 months, been a significant factor in necessitating hospitalization in a hospital or receipt of services in a forensic or other mental health unit of a correctional facility or a local correctional facility, not including any current period or period ending within the last 6 months during which the person was or is hospitalized or incarcerated, or prior to the filing of the petition resulted in one of more acts of serious violent behavior towards self or others, or threats of or attempts of serious physical harm to self or others within the last 48 months, not including any current period or period ending within the last 6 months in which the person was or is hospitalized or incarcerated, and is, as a result of his or her mental illness, unlikely to voluntarily participate in treatment that would enable him or her to live safely in the community, and in view of his or her treatment history and behavior, is in need of assisted outpatient treatment in order to prevent a relapse or deterioration, which would be likely to result in serious harm to the person or others as defined in 9.01 of this article, and is likely to benefit from assisted outpatient treatment. A court may not issue an AOT order unless it finds that assisted outpatient treatment is the least restrictive alternative available for them. And then there's a written treatment plan, and there's a court hearing process. And so, I mean, it really is very spelled out and intentional and designed. And then anybody, you know, fails to comply with an AOT order, they can be picked up by police or peace officers or police officers who take the individual into custody and transport him or her to the hospital. And then you can be held at the hospital for up to 72 hours for care, observation, and treatment, and to permit a physician to determine whether involuntary admission under the standards set forth in Article 9 of the Mental Hygiene Law is warranted. At any point during the 72 hours, should determination be made that the individual does not involuntary admission criteria, that individual must be released. And then they talk about the ways that they pay for all the drugs with the medication grant program and issues of termination of conditional release for people who leave state-operated psychiatric institutions. It says conditional release may be used for these individuals as a means of ending the inpatient period of service to them without ending the state facility ties to the person under the mental hygiene law, that they continue to bring me into the state for that person being in the institution, even though they're living in the community. And then looking at planning and for quote unquote high needs patients, and it literally is quoted as high need patients, high dash need patients, with quotes around it. And so I would urge you to get involved with what it is that we're doing, and keep watching, and I'll be back soon. Until next time.